Will Africa support gas as a transition fuel when Egypt hosts COP27? And did the U.S. Senate pass the Inflation Reduction Act? Welcome to the Climate Recap from the Beckosphere Climate Corner, your go-to place for international and U.S.-based climate news. I'm Becky Hoke, a science writer. Today is Monday, August 8th. Let's jump right into the news you need to start your day. Let's start with some extreme weather events. In Asia, parts of Japan experienced record rainfall last Thursday that resulted in flooding and mudslides. Thousands were ordered to evacuate as rainfall reached 16.3 inches or 414.5 millimeters in a 24-hour period, nearly twice the previous record set in July 2014. From water to fire, data from the European Union's Joint Research Center reveals that wildfires that burned through Europe charred the second biggest area on record, and we're only halfway through the continent's fire season. So far, wildfires burned almost 1.5 million acres, or over 600,000 hectares. Italy, Spain, and France have suffered the worst this year. The record to beat was set in 2017 at 2.4 million acres, or almost 1 million hectares. So hopefully we won't get near that record. The heat wave and wildfires have left Europe in a drought so bad that the source of the River Thames has dried out for the first time river experts can recall. Higher temperatures into the mid-30s degrees Celsius are still to come, risking the river drying out more. So far, about 5 miles of the river have dried out from its origin, and Thames Water says a water ban could be put in place soon. And in the U.S., Death Valley National Park saw almost 70% of its annual rainfall on Thursday alone, which has left about 1,000 visitors and staff members either stranded or encouraged to leave. Dozens of cars got covered by debris as the park flooded. The park was closed to visitors as a result on Friday. This was a 1-in-1,000-years event, dropping 1.46 inches or 37 millimeters of rain on the desert environment. The area only saw 0.04 inches of rain so far this year, which is the driest through July since 1953. This event is second to the record rainfall recorded in 1911. Okay, time for some climate victories. The African Group of Negotiators, or AGN, including representatives of the Egyptian presidency, denied a proposal by the Executive Council of the African Union to adopt a pro-gas stance for the upcoming United Nations Climate Conference, COP27, in November. Egypt will host this event. The African Union argued that gas, green and blue hydrogen, and nuclear are important forms of energy for the transition, but the AGN determined this take was too controversial and would distract from pushing for climate finance and adaptation. At least 10 African countries consider gas a transition fuel, despite gas costing more than renewable energy like wind and solar and not being clean. This is because many don't have access to technology like battery storage, geothermal energy, and hydropower that can provide cleaner baseload generation. A recent paper by the African Union determined that, based on current investment patterns, about 570 million people in Africa will still remain without access to modern energy by 2030. This further emphasizes the need for wealthy countries to support this continent, which has provided less than 1% of the historical emissions but faces some of the worst climate impacts. Over to the U.S., a federal court rejected two resource management plans by the Bureau of Land Management, which would have increased fossil fuel production in the Powder River Basin. The basin stretches between Wyoming and Montana and is the largest coal-producing region in the U.S. About 43% of all coal produced in the U.S. and nearly 85% of all federal coal produced in the U.S. comes from this basin. These plans would have increased coal production by 6 billion tons that would have been mined over a period of 20 years. They were originally set in motion by the Trump administration, but were being upheld by the Biden administration. In 2020, several environmental groups, including the Center for Biological Diversity and the Sierra Club, sued the Bureau for letting these projects continue, arguing it didn't conduct proper environmental assessments. The court said the Bureau failed to take into account the human health implications and climate costs of burning publicly owned coal. It also said the BLM failed to sufficiently look for energy alternatives that would limit or end coal leasing in the basin, violating the National Environmental Policy Act and the Administrative Procedural Act. This is the second time the court has sent these plans back to the drawing board, so many plaintiffs were frustrated they had to go through this process again. Meanwhile, New Jersey became the latest state to invest in electrifying its school bus fleet after it authorized $45 million to go to this effort last week. The money will be split up over the next 3 years to at least 18 school districts. To be fair, New Jersey has over 600 school districts, but it's a start. Half or more of these funds will go towards lower income or high pollution exposed communities. More than 40% of the state's emissions comes from the transportation sector. Now we have some climate fails. Glencore published a record windfall profit of $18.92 billion over the first 6 months of this year as coal is set to tie for record use, a record originally made in 2013. That's over double the $8.7 billion they made that time last year. Glencore is known for thermal coal mining and plans to keep mining until the mid-2040s. They mine mostly in Colombia, Australia, and South Africa, and is Australia's biggest coal producer. It gave $4.5 billion to its shareholders from this profit, which means the rest can go to paying off debts or fines, lobbying, and expanding projects. In the Middle East, the Taliban is seizing this coal boom to restart its economy through increasing coal exports from Afghanistan. Dozens of men and boys, as young as 8 years old, are working in Kabul, loading coal onto donkeys with no machinery or safety equipment. The Financial Times reports that nearly half of the workers, who are entirely covered in coal dust, appear to be either teenagers or younger. The economic crisis brought on by the Taliban takeover has forced many kids out of school to make money for their families. Most of this coal makes it to Pakistan, where it's shipped to China. In general, the Taliban is pro-fossil fuels, whereas the previous administration was interested in transitioning to clean energy. And in response to the U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visiting Taiwan, China announced it would halt talks with the U.S. on various subjects, including climate action. This is very problematic, as the U.S. and China are the top global emitters, and the next big UN climate conference is only a few months away. China has explicitly told the U.S. not to send top diplomats to Taiwan, which could show solidarity with Taiwan's independence, but Pelosi ignored this and went there anyways last week. Previously, the U.S. and China have had a pretty open dialogue on the climate crisis, so this is a step back. I want to end today's episode with the biggest climate news story. The U.S. Senate passed the Inflation Reduction Act. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I will leave a link to the video I did on the act in the description below. Bottom line, it could put the U.S. on track to reduce emissions by 40% by 2030. The Senate pulled an all-nighter and a Votorama to get the reconciliation process and voting through as fast as they could over the weekend before they head off to summer vacation. All 50 Democrats voted on the bill. No Republicans did, so Vice President Harris dealt the tie-breaking vote in the affirmative. Things are looking good for this historic climate bill, but it still needs to pass the House of Representatives, which will return from vacation Friday to vote on it. As always, I will keep you posted. And that was your climate recap for Monday, August 8th. If you like the work I do, please follow this podcast, give it a 5-star rating, leave a review, and consider checking out the Becosphere Climate Corner YouTube channel. If you're on Twitch, I'll see you in my stream from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time today to talk about more climate news. Remember to talk about the climate crisis every single day and to support your local news organizations. Bye for now.